Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Stand up or sit out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy by Anthony Candela is a memoir exploring the unpredictability of life and the universal imperfections we all deal with. Anthony's life as a person with poor eyesight and progressive trek towards blindness provides an informative and entertaining example. Anthony, semi-retired from a professional career in the field of blindness and visual impairment spanning more than 40 years. He's also a retired wrestler and long-distance runner. He's interested in enhancing the success of blind people who wish to work and live fully in society. He's a Stephen Garf Marriott awardee for his lifetime achievement from the American Foundation for the Blind. Anthony R. Candela, author of Stand Up or Sit Out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy, is our guest on This Week in America. Anthony, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It is my pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to speaking with you for a long time.
Well, I have looking forward to talking with you and talking about the book, and I love the memoir that you've published. So let's talk about that decision to write the memoir in the genre of memoirs. Why did you decide to do this in a memoir and write this book?
Well, I wanted to get information out to the public, and I wanted to do it in a way that covered a theme of some type, which is basically what memoirs are all about.
Yes.
They are not pure autobiographies. They are my recollections as related to the themes that I chose. And I thought one of the more enjoyable aspects of my life, which also had its moments of pain along the way, was my athletic career. And I thought if I framed what it is like to be visually impaired, which is the way I was when I was younger, and then totally blind when I got to my middle adulthood, in a way that also told the world about the sports that I love so much and also how things are done and what makes things happen the way they do and why things work the way they do, I thought I'd be imparting a lot of good information to the world out there that many people don't know about. And, you know, in the end, it ended up being a labor of love. I just tried not to be too narcissistic about it, but I enjoyed very much going through the process of writing the memoir and hoping that the people out in the world who read it learn a little bit and understand a little bit. And then in the end, I think it's to get things to be a little bit more normal for we who have disabilities.
You do an excellent job and you tap all of our emotions. The book is an excellent read, Stand Up or Sit Out. Our guest is Anthony R. Candela. That's C-A-N-D-E-L-A. That's important because his website is his name, AnthonyRCandela.com. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we'll give you all of that information as we go through the conversation today. Let's talk a little bit about the concept of disability, at least here in the United States. Talk a little bit about that. Give us a background, and then we'll talk specifically about the book.
Sure. You know, there are a lot of groups in our society that are categorized people by gender, people by sexual preference, and by race, et cetera. And since the United States is such a diverse society, we are used to having all these different groupings. And among them are people with disabilities. And disability is a very serious notion. It becomes official if somebody gets that label when they are not able to perform some basic life function because of either a sensory or physical inability or deficiency, and it really affects their ability to perform life activities, to go to work, to be integrated into society, and the way out of these dilemmas is through the people with disabilities learning how to cope, learning skills in order to function, and then having society have a more open mind to accepting them and letting them in and letting them try to be a part of the whole society. So So one of the reasons why I wrote the memoir was, again, to put out there into the world what this is all about and what it's like. In the United States today, people with disabilities have a way higher unemployment rate than people without disabilities. Now, you might think that sounds obvious, but it's a much lower unemployment rate today than it was 30 or 40 years ago when laws like the Americans with Disabilities Act were passed, and assistive technologies have developed so much to help people with disabilities do different things. So that's why we have a much better situation today, even though it still requires improvement, than we did 30 or 40 years ago.
Well, part of the reason for that, people like you, I mentioned the fact you spent over four decades out working in this field, trying to make life better for other people. Anthony Candela, our guest on the program, the book is Stand Up or Sit Out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy. Let's talk about all-around regular guy. That's how you label yourself. You've been fighting disability for most of your life. All-around regular guy. How do you define all-around regular guy, and how do you think you fit into that category?
Well, if I were to give a statistical definition, I would say average, meaning I've got my good points, yeah. I've got my bad points, and when you add it all up, I'm just an average person out there in the world. Now, the reason I label myself that, especially in the title of the book, is to get the rest of the world to actually start to absorb the notion that a person with a disability, in my case blindness, can actually be an all-around regular guy. And that if you treat, you know, someone like myself as just a regular person and think of me as a person with both his good points and his bad points, etc., then you will basically have humanized me in ways that sometimes people with disabilities are not. I think sometimes people are afraid to approach people with disabilities, and the reason I use the term all-around regular guy was to tell the world that I am far from perfect. You will see my imperfections if you read my memoir. And you'll see what happens when you try to strive and you try to achieve as well. But overall, I wanted to humanize the idea of me as a blind person for the rest of the world.
Stand Up or Sit Out is the name of the book. Anthony Candela, our guest on the program, C-A-N-D-E-L-A, his website, anthonyrcandela.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Have you always been blind? At what point did you realize that you were blind and diagnosed that way?
So I was born with a visual impairment. So I've never had full eyesight, but I did have some eyesight up until my late 30s when it finally faded away and I was functionally blind, meaning that I really could not use even the smidgen of vision that I might have had left for anything useful, except maybe to tell whether the lights were on or off, something like that. Very, very basic visual functioning, but nothing complex. So I was born with a condition called retinitis pigmentosa. It is a genetic condition. Both parents, in my case, have the recessive trait, and it emerged in me, and I was the first one in the family to ever have it. But I was partially sighted growing up. I could see straight ahead and never out to the side. I never had peripheral vision, and I was always unable to see in the dark. And I used my eyesight with eyeglasses and magnifying glasses for a long time. And then it slowly got worse, which is the way the condition progresses, until I started switching over to non-visual ways of doing things, reading audio books, things of that nature,
yes.
Using a cane to walk around safely with, learning how to use my hearing to better advantage. And then when the vision got so bad that I really couldn't use it anymore, I had pretty much fully transitioned into being able to function as a person without eyesight. So now I've been without eyesight pretty much for the last 35 years. I'm 70 years old now, so we can kind of split it in half, 35 years with some eyesight and 35 years really with not too much eyesight or none at all.
How did your parents adjust to the problems you were having in losing your vision, and how did you adjust in school?
Well, my parents were very young. My father was 23 and my mother was 21 when I was born. And my father is a former Marine, and I suspect he was looking forward to his firstborn son becoming a Marine someday.
Oh,
and
yes.
Being an athlete, things like that. My mother was this 5 feet tall Italian girl who had come over to the United States after World War II and kind of innocent about the world. So their first reaction was to go into shock. Like, what is going on here? Why is he bumping into things? And by the time they got done with the foray to this doctor and that doctor, they had a diagnosis and they had a prognosis, which is he's going to someday lose all of his sight. So my father really was the one that got utilitarian, bless his heart. He said, you are going to get your education. You are going to become a professional of some type. You're going to pick a profession that you can do even without your eyesight. And as far as I'm concerned, I want you to be a lawyer. That's what his goal for me was, to be a lawyer. And then I went through life having problems and continuing to solve them. My mother was usually the one to comfort me, and my father was the one to basically say, here's how you should do this. I've consulted with special teachers, or pick yourself up and stop moping around. Be strong. And there were both of those things from my father. And my mother was basically a lot of love and comfort. And that's the way we progressed all the way to this very day. Now my parents are both deceased. But that's basically their way of coping with me since the beginning. Schools were a little bit shy about having me in the beginning. They wanted me to go to a special school for the blind in New York City. I was growing up in the suburbs by that point of New York City. And my father and mother said, no, we want him home. We want him in the regular schools. He can handle it. Just put him in the front and center of the classroom and help him out, and he will be fine. And the schools did that. They took me in, and for the rest of my entire educational career, I was in a mainstream situation of some type or other, elementary school, high school, college, graduate school, etc.
You're dealing with all of that, and you get involved in sports. You're involved in wrestling, long-distance running, scuba diving, and skiing. Talk about a blind person getting involved in those sports, and how did you you participated, you excelled as well. How did you do that?
Well, my fifth grade gym coach introduced us to wrestling, and I still had enough eyesight that I could compete visually. And then I got to middle school and high school, and competed pretty much visually with wrestling. Couldn't wear my eyeglasses. And I think probably I should have adopted the one thing that wrestling does allow, which is you can touch fingertips with your opponent if you're physically separated and on your feet, so that your opponent can't just lunge in on you. But I didn't do that until college. And when I finished high school, I went to college and joined the wrestling team there. Eyesight was getting worse, so that's when I adopted the two fingertips touch technique, and I never got comfortable with it. That's how I did wrestling. Wrestling was the perfect sport for somebody with a visual impairment. It is the only sport which has in its regular rule system allowances for blind wrestlers. I don't think any other sport has that in their regular rule system like the way wrestling has had for decades and decades. Then I graduated from college, married a girl who was a biologist, and she needed to learn scuba diving, so we went together to the scuba diving class in town, and they accepted me, and we developed tactual hand signals, so if she wanted me to, let's say, go to the surface, she would use the standard signal, which is thumbs up, and I would just feel her hand, and then I would know what it was. And we did that for things like reading my air gauge and other things, just tactual signals. And I did that, and I learned how to downhill ski at a special program where they provide you a ski guide who skis near you, behind you, alongside of you, in front of you, and barks out verbal commands, a quarter left turn, a quarter right turn, etc. And I did some cross-country skiing, kind of in a similar matter with skiing partners. And then when I was in my mid-30s, I took up long-distance running. And the way we do that is we run with a little rope tether, again, with a running partner. Pretty much everything that I've done has been with a partner.
Yes.
And you just hold on to the rope tether, and it's just a guide. Your arms can swing freely, and it just is a way for them to keep you close. And you run with a running partner. You can do everything from long gliding strides to hard sprints as you are approaching the finish line of a race and want to look really good. So that's how I did the sports. I got into them all quite naturally. I generally didn't think about whether I wanted to do it or not from the point of view of being visually impaired. I thought about it from the point of view of how can it be done. And luckily, there was enough expertise out there for me not to have to invent too many of the wheels. I just invented a few of them.
You know, that's interesting. And you focus on sports. Talk about the importance and what that taught you. Obviously, the ability to innovate. It's such an inspirational story. Our guest is Anthony R. Candela. The book is Stand Up or Sit Out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy. Emphasis on sports. That's been a big part of your life, hasn't it?
Yes, I would say, and I do say in the memoir, if you want to look at which one of the two things I was better at, academics or sports, clearly I was a better academic student than I was an athlete. I really was an average athlete. And I wish I was better, but that's what I was. But it was the sports side of my life that was the most fun and the most enjoyable to me. And that is why when I decided to talk about my life in the memoir, I picked sports, because it really turned out to be a labor of love to write about my life from the point of view of sports. It's, for me, a whole lot of fun to talk about sports, a whole lot of fun to explain the sports to other people. It's a lot of fun when they get interested in it and they start actually talking to you about the sport using the proper nomenclature, et cetera,
yes.
and getting all excited about it. Then when you talk about things like winning and losing, you have to strike the philosophical balances. How do you lose and keep on going? How do you win and keep on going? You know, how do you be a good winner and how do you put up with losing? Because there's winning and losing, unless you are like the Olympic champions of the world. You will be losing as much as you will be winning. And all this basically formed the fabric of my personality, how to live life with all of the ups and downs. And since I was dealing with a lot of ups and downs, sports just provided another set of challenges. But the reward for dealing with those challenges was to have so much fun doing the wrestling, doing the running. You know, when you're in the middle of the act of wrestling and you're in the middle of the act of running or scuba diving, you are in seventh heaven. I don't want to overblow the experience too much. You're not in a state of ecstasy. You are well grounded, but you are happy. And I think that's why I wanted to talk about sports and frame the memoir around sports, because it had its ups and downs, as I mentioned, but it made me very happy.
The book is Stand Up or Sit Out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy. Anthony's website is AnthonyRCandela, CANDELA.com. You'll find the book available, readersmagnet.com, Amazon, usual places. Order the book as well from Anthony's website. And we have that website, a direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Boy, time is going by so quickly, so much to talk about. And let's talk a little bit about blindness. Obviously complicated, just about everything you've ever done. How did you deal with that? How did you adapt so you could deal with that?
I learned a lot of skills of blindness. I mean, there is an entire professional field out there that I was a part of my entire professional life, where people are are working with the blind, they're teaching the blind, they're giving them skills, they're helping them get jobs, etc. And if, as with sports, if one remembers that the most important thing is to figure out how to do it, you know, as a blind person, how to travel around safely, how to read material that you need to read, how to interact in social situations, etc. If you learn how to do these things, some by being taught, some through the school of hard knocks, then you start to get a handle on what is regarded as a very severe disability. And once you start getting a handle on these things, the disaster diminishes completely. It becomes something that you are accustomed to and something that you actually have skills to deal with. So I handled my blindness progressively as the eyesight got worse, and I had the luxury of having a lot of time to get used to the eyesight getting worse. I learned more skills, and this is what I preach to everybody out there. Learn as much as you can, and also the other thing to do is learn how to feel pain but not let the pain overwhelm you and stop you in your tracks. Go through what you have to go through when you have these points of pain, but make sure you know that you must come out of that and then get back up on that horse again and try again.
If you had to do it all over again, let's take wrestling as an example. What would you do differently, specifically in wrestling? Would you do that differently if you had a chance to go back and have a redo?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. If I had, as a matter of fact, with a lot of the sports that I participated in, I think the one thing that I would do differently is I would train harder. I would cross train more, meaning, you know, do a lot more running and weightlifting and things like that. And I did those things, but I would do them harder. I would be in better physical shape. And I think that for me, having always had literally a wrestling match with fatigue itself, getting into better shape would have counteracted some of that. Because once you become afraid of getting tired, then you really get tired. So if I had the one thing that I would do differently, it would be to train harder. And then I would have probably paid attention to what my fellow wrestlers were doing. They were going off to wrestling camps during the summertime, and I was not being invited, and I have a feeling I wasn't being invited because they didn't think that they should have a blind person going into wrestling camp. So it was never spoken of, and I didn't know about it until after the fact. I would pay more attention to that, because the more you ply your trade, the better you get at it. So I train harder, and I would go to wrestling camps. That's what I would have done.
Tell us a little bit, a couple minutes left. Tell us a little bit about the professional career. You've devoted your life to helping other people. This book is an extension of that. It's an entertaining book. It's an insightful book. We laugh, we cry as we're following along with Anthony's exploits in his life. The professional career, what all has this meant to you? And it continues today.
Trained as a rehabilitation counselor. These are people who are trained. You get a master's degree, and you are trained to work with people with disabilities. And my entire career, I worked with the blind, and I was a good counselor. I had a caseload of between 80 and 100 people, which was respectable for the day when I was doing this, the late 70s and early 80s. And then I became a supervisor, and then I became a manager of a district office, and that is when I like to say I was approaching my Peter principle, you know, that point where I start becoming incompetent. And then I was with the state of New York working for them, and then I left for the private sector and had a few jobs in the private sector. And then I finished my career with the state of California, where I had moved and lived for 15 years from 2000 until 2015. And my very last job after I left the state of California was with the Veterans Affairs Unit in Southern California in Long Beach, where I opened up a blind rehabilitation center for them, which was the pinnacle of my career. I got to open up a new organization inside the VA, funded by the VA, very, very generous. They paid a lot of money to build a building and hire staff and buy equipment, things like that. My job was to do everything from getting the equipment to hiring the staff to making sure the organization became mature. And when I left it, it was indeed a mature organization. I could hand the reins to my assistant, who took it over and is still there today. And then I came back to New York and have worked some part-time jobs with various organizations since then, and keep my hand in the field in various ways.
Well, what a legacy that is the case of Anthony Candela, our guest on the program. A couple minutes left. You touched on this several times, touched on this with the program you were involved in California. How have things changed in terms of assistance and support from your younger days? Have they changed dramatically? Are we getting to the point now where we're offering more assistance for disabled people?
Well, there have been a couple of changes that are major changes for the good, and maybe one change that I don't think is for the good. The changes that are for the good are, since the old days when I first started, more legislation has been passed, civil rights laws for people with disabilities, and a lot of requirements of the private sector and the public sector to be supportive of and non-discriminatory of people with disabilities. There's been a lot more public education. I guess you can put my memoir into the public education realm.
Yes.
Which means that the average person out there, especially in a city like New York City, where everybody is so used to seeing people, you know, that look different than they do, there's a lot more acceptance of people with disabilities, and it seems to me they are more knowledgeable and less nervous. All these things are good, because when you're living your daily life, you want to be able to function in the world. The increase in the amount of technology available to people with all disabilities, not just the blind, you know, everything from devices that talk to devices that help somebody who is paralyzed to be able to move their arms and legs through mental imagery. All these things are the result of high-powered technologies that have emerged over the last few decades. So those are all good things. I think the one area where things have gone maybe in the wrong direction is there aren't as many people. It seems like there's labor shortages everywhere these days. There aren't as many people wanting to enter the field as in the old days. So we have higher caseloads in the agencies that support people with disabilities than maybe we would like. And what we do need is more people to get interested in working with folks with disabilities, to actually join the professions. Go get your master's degree in something, whether it's physical therapy or rehabilitation counseling, to go ahead and get your education and join the professions and work with the folks with disabilities so they can have a really good life.
I want to squeeze one more question in here. What should we do when we see a disabled person, a blind person, or someone with another disability? What's the best way for us to react to be helpful to you?
Well, first thing is stop and look first. And just look and observe. And then if, let's say, it's me walking down the street and I look like I'm hesitating or having some difficulty, walk up and say, "May I help you?" And let me answer that question. And then do your best to actually help me. And then be relaxed and matter of fact about the whole thing. Remember that the person that you're talking to, namely me, is just an all-around regular guy, just like you are, and we are in the human race together. And if we can have that, if we can have that kind of camaraderie and normalcy, I think I would feel that we've achieved something very great in our society.
Well, your book has us thinking along those lines. It is such a great read on so many levels. The book is Stand Up or Sit Out, Memories and Musings of a Blind Wrestler, Runner, and All-Around Regular Guy. Anthony Candela, that's Candela, book available at Anthony's website, anthonyrcandela.com. Find the book at the usual places. My thanks to Reader's Magnet Self-Publishing and Marketing Company for arranging our conversation with Anthony today. Anthony, the time has gone by so quickly. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story and motivating and inspiring other people. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, Rick. It's been really fun talking with you.
And again, Anthony's website is anthonyrcandela.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And that's the program you're listening to. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.